It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thy word is truth. Study to show yourself, approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open once again to Galatians chapter 5 and now verse 21. We're just about to finish these up. It's been painful, but hopefully we're coming to the close of this list of sins that Paul has for us to consider. And so in verse 21, it starts out with the word envying in the New American Standard, then drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. So he opens the door for all of the ones that we haven't mentioned. And again, depending on whose list you're looking at, I have about 40 or 50, and I have another list somebody developed with 94. I think some of those overlap. And so depending on whether we're talking mental, verbal, or overt sins, and in that connection, we could go right through this list. And, some of these, of course, obviously, drunkenness, that's not a mental attitude sin. That's not a verbal sin. That would be an overt sin. On the other hand, jealousy is a mental sin. And so carousing would be an overt sin. Murder is certainly overt, which is left out of the New American Standard. So we'll see that. That's one of the ones that's only found in the majority text, not in the Nestle text. So in that case, the New American Standard favored the Nestle text. So, and as I look through these different texts and the manuscript evidence, I see that even the New American Standard kind of weighs the evidence, and sometimes they'll include things that are in the majority, sometimes things that are in the Nestle text, which is the more ancient text that we have, and the Alexandrian text, and so forth. And so it doesn't seem that even the New American Standard is consistent in that. Now, if you have a new American Standard, one that has been revised, and they have done revisions in the New American Standard, mine's back in the 60s, I think, when I got this one, and it's about worn out, but it's the one I have. I do have a later edition, and so you may have a newer one. And if I say something sometime and you have something different, you have a New American Standard, let me know. You may have a revision where they have corrected, just like the word that they left out, I think, that should have been. This case of murder, the one after envying, not here, but it is in the King James and it is in the majority text. So again, does that cause any problems for us that murder isn't mentioned in this list? Well, thou shalt not murder is in the Ten Commandments. Jesus restated it. He said if you even hate someone, it's tantamount to murder. And so obviously murder is still a sin. It hasn't been removed because Paul didn't put it in this list, or some manuscripts left it out for whatever reason. Maybe some added it in because they thought it ought to be in there, and Paul, he left it out. Some of these ancient manuscripts, it's out, so we better put it in. So we have no way of really knowing. We don't have the original autograph. But again, as I say, maybe the difference between a singular or a plural, or where a word is left out or an extra one is added in, it does not change the meaning of what's here. And so we don't have to fear that our text is corrupted. It's just in some of the transmission, a spelling might be different and so forth. In my experience, however, over the years of study, the New American Standard translation, although in perhaps not as high a demand these days, is still, by and large, the most literally accurate text that we have in English. There are many other translations, and you certainly may use whatever one you have, and sometimes you have questions if you're using a different text. Sometimes I check three or four, and so I'm working basically from the Hebrew and Greek, Hebrew, Old Testament, Greek, and the New Testament, and so I'm not as concerned about the English, but when I say a particular word, you say, where's that word in English? I have to go back and double check. So I try to do that. It's just when I get in the middle of these with so many words, sometimes it's easy to get to skip over one. So at any rate, envying. And so you say, well, isn't envying the same as jealousy? Well, yes and no. Remember we had anger. There's two sides to anger. There's righteous indignation. That's legitimate. Just don't let the sun go down on your anger. Then there's wrathful anger, where you're just a nasty person and you are totally buzzed out about a particular person, and so that kind of thing, wrath that leads to some type of violence, that would be a sin. Whereas righteous indignation is not a sin. In fact, the scripture says sin. It says, you know, be angry. It's imperative. Be angry about people that are heretics, people that are doing false teaching. Be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't dwell on it. Recognize that they have a problem, and you shouldn't say, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, you're in a cult. Oh, well, good for you. I mean, you should be angry with that. You have to let them know, I'm sorry, I can't agree. The Mormons come to your door. Oh, have a nice day. No. I give them a coin. I say, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that He was the unique Son of God, and that He is God incarnate? And, you know, I go through all of that, and, you know, they try to assuage it and go over it like, oh, yeah, we believe in the same Jesus. I go, well, do you know that your church believes that He is Michael the Archangel? I didn't even know that till this weekend, that the Seventh-day Adventists think that Jesus is the Archangel Michael. He's not the brother, but He is Michael himself. So some of these cults actually think Jesus is an angel, and that therefore He would be less than God. He became God, if you will, because of His work on earth. And I mean, the insane things that these people come up with, we ought to be angry about that. And we need to have, you know, you can't know about every cult, but you should have a working knowledge. And we have that study on the cults, witnessing to the cults. If you pull that up again and double check it, because you're going to run into these people either at your door or somewhere, and without being nasty, you just need to present the fact that you believe Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God, He is the unique Savior, and that faith alone and His finished work on the cross alone saves you eternally. If they got that, then they're saved, even if they're muddied up in many other areas of theology. So, you know, you need to keep those things in front of you, and keep in mind that all of the religions of the world, all of the cults, all of these things are based on a system of works, rituals, however minor they are. Those rituals do not save, they do not maintain spirituality, and they always have those. Usually, there's some leader that started it all off. They got sideways and they developed a whole religion, or they were involved with demons, such as Joseph Smith, the angel Moroni, which I always thought was a great name for a fallen angel. Moron, is it Moroni, you know? I mean, that's where we get that word, Moroni. It's kind of like almost a pun, like he talked to Moroni to go, yeah, I'm sure he did, you know. So, but then I didn't realize that Jehovah's Witness, they started by one person, Mary Baker Eddy, I believe, is in there. And then the Seventh-day Adventist, this woman that started that whole thing, she had visions, and someone gave her visions about what she should have in the Bible, and they've been trying to correct it ever since, because a lot of her stuff is just goofy, way out stuff. And you never hear it today from the Seventh-day Adventists. About all you hear is, you know, that they're Christians, they have this wonderful store. Oh yeah, they worship on Saturday instead of Sunday. But of course, if you don't worship on Saturday as they do, you're never going to get into the kingdom. They forget to tell you that kind of stuff. So we see that these kind of divisions, we ought to be angry about them. And not to the point where we're fighting mad, but to where we give them a presentation. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever? He died on the cross for my sins and your sins once and for all. And if you believe that, you have everlasting life. Is that what you believe? Well, they can't agree with that. If they do, they're saved. But they won't agree with it. They'll say, well, yes, but. No, 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 yes, but. That's it. And they get into the Christian life. They get into their rituals. They want to add all kinds of things to it. And you just can't let them go there. And so there's a certain anger. It's not vicious. It's not hateful. So there's a righteous indignation and there's a vicious, hateful wrath. But in the same way, we have here this concept of envying and jealousy. Number 9 on our hit parade of sins here was jealousy. This one's envying. I look in the dictionary. You look in Roget's see if I can get it. Thesaurus. Got to watch that front row. Thesaurus, you know. The thesaurus says that jealousy and envy are synonyms. Almost. But you see, there's a good side to jealousy. Because jealousy comes from the word zelao, from which we get zealous. So jealousy is zealousness. And we should be zealous. We should be jealous for our Savior and for our faith in Jesus Christ. God is jealous for His people. That's not a sin. So jealousness has a good side, just like anger. Be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be zealous for your faith in Christ. Be zealous for the Word of God. Be jealous for the things that God has given you. On the other hand, being jealous can also be this idea that we have here, envying. So both of them he's looking at, and when I looked at it, I thought, well, they're the same thing. Why does Paul mention it? Slight difference. Because here we have envying. There's never a good time. Envying is always bad. Envying is not a good thing at all. Jealousy has a good side and a bad side. Envying is the next step. Envying has to do with jealous with malice intent. That you are almost at the point of viciousness. It is malice, mental malice towards this person, because they got something you want. And you want it, and you're going to take it. You may not have taken it yet, but you're going to do everything you can to undermine this person and work so as you'll end up, maybe it's a position or something at work, and you do everything to undermine. It's vicious, and it is therefore envying to that point. And so the difference here is, again, one of those that's hard to pronounce, P-H-T-H-O-N-O-S, phanos. P-H-T-H, how do you say that in Greek? Is thanos, you know, it's just almost like you're spitting on it. Thanos, and it means this word envy or envying, and translated also, as I said, jealousy. It's always bad. Example, look at Matthew 27:18. Matthew 27:18. Just a couple of other places. 27:18. Matthew 27:18, yeah. And this is Jesus speaking, of course, so we have to say this is the boss. And he says, for he knew that because of envy, they had delivered him up. I mean, his thing was envy to the point they hated him. They may have known that a lot of the things he did, his healings and stuff, they couldn't argue, but they just hated it. Remind you of anything? Kind of like today with our president. No matter what he does, whether you agree with it or disagree, I mean, he's done some marvelous things during his tenure, but no matter what he does, one party hates him, and that's no good. A perfect example is this latest thing about the drawing out troops. The other administration always, whenever we were anywhere, well, we needed to pull those troops out. We're not the world's policemen. We need to get out of there, over and over. And suddenly now, because he pulls out a small percentage of troops from overseas, suddenly he's the bad guy. It's like he can never do the right thing because they hate him. And therefore, there's this envying that they just cannot stand him. And so it's vicious. And it leads to all other sins like jealousy in its worst sense, leads as a mental attitude sin, leads to viciousness, leads to lying, leads to corruption. And we have perhaps the greatest amount of corruption in Washington, although we didn't know in the past perhaps how bad it was. Because we didn't have the all of the electronic media, Facebook and all these things that are out there. Now there's a camera everywhere. Everybody can be a superstar somewhere on the internet. And so you can't get away with much these days. On one hand, that's a good thing. It keeps you honest. On the other hand, the people who lie in that, they always get caught in it. And I just applaud. I just clap my hands because these guys lie and try to do this. And then the truth comes out and they just look, they look foolish and deceptive, which is what they are. So here you have envy right here. The Lord says it, and this is what he is talking about with regard to those who are his judges. And they are judging. They hated him. They envied him, and that's what we have here. And then we have in, you don't have to look, in Romans 1:29, it's part of one of Paul's sin lists. We mentioned that Paul has about 8 specific sin lists. If you have the doctrine of sin that I just mentioned earlier, if you look, it lists all of these sin lists. You can go and check them out. I was going to write them up here, but you know, you can go check those out. All the different lists, 8 different lists in different books that Paul has. We're studying the one in Galatians. And so over and over in various books of the New Testament, Paul and others, it's just 8 by Paul. Then the writer of Hebrews, Peter writes them, James writes them, and so they all have included lists of sins. The list we're really looking towards is the list coming up, which of course is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the good list. This one here, then we have one more over in, well, let's look at 1 Timothy 6:4, actually 2 more. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6:4. And verse 3 basically says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, verse 4, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, and evil suspicion. And it says, verse 6, 5, constant friction also between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. They're looking at that selfish ambition. Am I going to be able to sell a book? Am I going to make money on this deal? Can I get this guy out of office? Whatever these things are. So we see that. And then one last one over in Titus chapter 3, 3. Titus chapter 3, 3. Now here it's speaking about, this is one of those passages where we have the salvation message that is mentioned over here from verses 5 and following. But in 3, and actually in 2, we have a list of sins. And so it talks about being ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. So the positive rather than the negative. And verse 3 says, because we, all of us, Titus, Paul, everybody, we also were once foolish ourselves. Perish the thought. Disobedient, deceived to, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. So we've got there 7. So here's a list of 7 sins in this passage. And in the list, of course, we've seen some. We have hating, of course, hatefulness. Envy is there. And malice, which, of course, is where you take envy to the next step, where you actually perpetrate some type of viciousness on someone else. So we have those for envying, similar to number 9, jealousy. But note the difference. Jealousy can have a good side. Jealous or zealous, zelao, is the verb, which means to be zealous. And it's a good thing to be zealous for good works. Be zealous for good works. Be zealous for the Lord. But not be jealous of what someone else has. That moves you into envy and malice. And that's what we have in number 14 here. The next one is missing. So if you go over to Galatians, you'll see that there's no murder there. It's in the King James. So those of you who have a King James, New King James, will have murder as the next one in the list. And here, murder is not listed. And so it simply goes to drunkenness. So it goes envying, drunkenness. In between there is murder. And that's found only in the majority, as I noted. And it's phanos, P-H-O-N-O-S. And it means murder. However, murder is mentioned many other times in Scripture. We won't look at all of them. We'll show you one or two. Paul mentions it in Acts 9:1. Of course, this is Paul's writing, so gee, why didn't he include it? That may be why the scribe said, well, he ought to have that, because he talks about it over in Acts 9:1. In Romans 1:29, there's a sin list there. It's in that particular sin list as well in Romans 1:29. And we see Luke 23:19. The murderer, Barabbas. You remember he was selected over Jesus Christ because he committed murder. Not only was he a rebel and he was rising up against the Roman Empire, but he'd also committed murder. So he was a bad dude. And remember, the people picked him over Jesus, a murderer over someone who claimed to be God, because he was violating a spiritual thing. Although probably the Romans thought, well, the emperor is God. You can't have another God beside him. And so Jesus was at the front. But he wasn't killing people. This guy killed people. You'd think if someone deserved mercy, it would have been the Lord say, well, we pick Jesus because at least he's not a murderer like Barabbas. Instead, there's Barabbas, Barabbas. We want the murderer. That sounds like some of the people in our country. Let the murderers out. Oh, they smoke pot? Put them away for 20 years. Oops. Now they got all those people that are in there for marijuana, and half the states or more in the country now celebrate it. I don't think it's a good thing, but there it is. I mean, there's certainly some good things about the CBD, and they say that there's healing properties there that don't get you high and all of that. I've tried some of it, and I don't know how well it works, but obviously obviously these things that people were put in jail for that were innocuous, and now they're not crimes anymore. Probably never should have been, or maybe more things ought to be on that docket. That's not my point here. It's just that these things, murder certainly is the crime that was the bigger crime, whatever else he did. The sedition was part of it, but murder certainly should have been a capital offense, and he was exonerated. They let him go. Mercy for Barabbas. So that's found over there in Luke 23:19. And then Jesus in Mark 7:21. Let's go there. Mark 7:21. In Mark 7:21, here we have, this is one that we mentioned earlier. Jesus was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that's what defiles the man. It's not the things that go into the man, the food. You know, some things are poisonous. You want to watch out for that. But the Old Testament law said you shouldn't eat this, and you shouldn't eat this, and they had all these regulations. And so, again, Seventh-day Adventists, they pick and choose those things, and they won't eat this, that, and the other thing, as a system of legalism. That was to protect them based on the health rules that they understood in that day. But today, there's nothing really bad out there, although I don't know about eating snails and bugs and things. People eat those things. I go, maybe not, you know. Maybe if I was starving on a desert and I had to cook some ants for the fat, might think about it. But, you know, just to go and get chocolate-covered ants doesn't do it for me. Maybe you like those kind of things. But there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it may not taste good, it may sustain you. It's not a sin. And so it's not what you take into the body, it's what comes out of the body. And that's what he says here. It's what proceeds out of the man that defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, fornication, we saw that early on, pornography, we noted it, theft, murders, adulteries, there it is. And then deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Not quite as long a list here in Mark, but these are Jesus. This is Jesus' list. So Jesus got a list, and he has 13 here. Paul has 17. So different lists that we see in Scripture. So you want one that Jesus had, and he does the same thing. Verse 23, notice, all these things proceed from within and defile the man. All these evil things, they're all considered evil things. They're sins. Sins are part of evil, but evil is greater than sin. Evil could be doing a good thing, trying to appease God, and because you are not a believer, not in fellowship as a believer, it becomes an evil thing. It becomes human good, and therefore is burned at the judgment seat. So we have these. So that's murder. One other, I can't go without passing this, without going to this, Matthew 5:21. Matthew 5:21. Matthew 5:21, here it says, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable before the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whosoever shall say to his brother, fool, racha, here, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go to Gehenna. That's the lake of fire in eternity. Eternity after the great white throne judgment, hell of fire is Gehenna in the Greek. It's literally the garbage dump outside of Jerusalem, but then became the place of ever burning in the future, lake of fire as we understand that. And so that's Matthew. And then in chapter 19, a little further down, in Matthew 19:21. Here Jesus, of course, lists the Ten Commandments, basically, the essence of the Ten Commandments there in verse 18. You'll notice that there's no Sabbath there. I guess he missed those. No, it's left out on purpose because it was the sign of the Mosaic Covenant. What would be the sign, by the way, of the dispensation of the church? We know the sign of Noah, the sign of the Noahic Covenant was what? Rainbow, right? The sign of the Mosaic Covenant was the Sabbath. Sign of the Abrahamic Covenant, you remember that. Test time, don't raise your hand. Circumcision, right? And the sign of the dispensation of the church is what? Anybody know? baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling and baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a sign of the dispensation of the church. And so we do not have a Sabbath day. Rather, we have a Sabbath perpetually, moment by moment, throughout all of eternity. And again, that is that Sabbath that's mentioned in Hebrew. Totally different word from the Sabbath everywhere else in the Bible, except right there, a special word that means kind of a Sabbath commemoration. Not just a Sabbath day, but a commemoration which goes on and on. Where is our Sabbath? In Christ Jesus. You believe in Christ, you have a perpetual rest in Christ Jesus. We rest in Him, and that's the idea of the Sabbath. So we have all of these, but I wanted to look at verse 21. It says, Jesus said to them, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have the treasures in heaven. Come, follow me. And then verse 22, but when the young man heard this statement, he went and was grieved because he had owned much property. And I'm sorry, that's 18 is what I wanted. Okay, there it was. We looked at that. And then we did the 5, 21 and 22 already. And so it says in verse 20, all these things I have done, what am I still lacking? And he's lacking the fact that he's following Jesus. Now, does that say, is Jesus saying, yep, you've done, you've obeyed all the Ten Commandments? He never says that. He says, oh, I've done all that. What am I lacking? And Jesus probably tongue-in-cheek thought, yeah, sure you did all those. But he says, follow me. If he follows Jesus, then he's going to recognize that he doesn't keep the law. But that's another story for another time. All right, so we have murder then that is added in, not in the New American Standard. It is in the King James, New King James translation, and so forth. And we have these various words, murder, time and time again. And part of the Ten Commandments, of course, Jesus restates it there in Matthew. The next one is drunkenness. Now, this would be an overt sin. No question about this. You can't get drunk as a mental attitude sin. I guess you could get drunk with some type of euphoria in terms of psychology or philosophy, where somebody, you see the flag going up and you have an emotional experience because you're a patriot, and you would be drunk with patriotism. But that's not what drunkenness normally means, because it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. So drunk in the Spirit, if you will. And that's what they thought the day of Pentecost. People viewing the apostles were saying, hey, this is 9 o'clock in the morning. Why are these people all drunk? Well, they weren't drunk. They were speaking in other languages. And to the people listening who didn't know those languages, they would think these people are just babbling, you know, like you see a drunk and he's over in the corner. Blah, 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 blah. I used to think that people did that, but now they're on cell phones. But anyway, at one time, when you see a guy in the corner talking to himself, he was talking to himself. Now he's got ear things in, and he's on the phone with somebody, and he isn't really crazy. Although, I did see a guy on the street corner trying to get money, and he didn't have a cell phone, and he was talking to himself, too. So it still happens, I guess. At any rate, drunkenness, then, is a sin. It's in the New American Standard. It is in the plural, and so the plural would be drunkennesses. Again, does it make a difference if you're drunken or multiple drunken stupors or what have you? And the word is methe, M-E-T-H-E. I don't know if that's where they get methane. I think it's totally different. Methe, M-E-T-H-E. Only found 3 times in the New Testament. Once here, once in Luke, and of course our favorite passage in Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine. And there we have, of course, the concept of drunkenness in this particular word. Number 17. Whew, we finally made it. Good. I can actually get to some good things. The last one here, number 17, is carousing. That's how it's translated, I believe, in the New American Standard. Yes, there it is. Carousing. And carousing simply means reveling, going out with people who do all manner of evil things. And so, again, people go out into a drunken party or something where all sorts of things. You can smell the marijuana, let's say, when you go in the door. People are taking all manner of drugs and they're inebriated. And so you got to be careful about these things. As a young person, I went to some of these places and I had to get over that. I had to get away from it. I think the thing that chased me out wasn't the fact that I was, in this case, carousing, but the music got so loud, I couldn't stand it. I went to a lot of clubs when I was a young person, even in the service, because I played trumpet. And sometimes at that time, I would sit in with the band if they'd let me, and I could play. And they actually played music that you could understand. This was a long time ago, probably. It was the early days of rock and roll. You hear them on Time Life, where they're back in the 60s, you know, those old songs that you could actually hear the words, and they had a nice melody, and I could follow along. And I had a good ear, so I could play by ear most of those songs. So I remember sitting in York, Pennsylvania. There was a club right around the corner. After we had a hard workout, we'd go over there, and usually people would have some adult beverages. Usually I got one and sat it there. I never did drink it, maybe sipped it. They'd come by, would you like it? No, I'm fine. Until that thing got so warm, there was nothing left in there but warm beer or something. But I went to hear the music. And a couple of times I actually got to sit in with the band. But I remember, as the years went by, two or three years later, we went over there, it was getting louder and louder and louder. And I said, God, does this bother your ears, guys? I couldn't hardly, you know, you couldn't hardly dance. The music was so loud. And then the other problem was the smoke. People smoking, that smoke layer would come down. And so you're sitting here trying to get under the smoke layer. Well, we usually sat on kind of, it was a higher level. The dance floor was down here, and we had tables up here. We like to sit up there so we could see the band and here, and then we could go down the little steps and dance. And of course, the smoke up there, just, it was, you were right in it. I mean, it was just like right there, and you're trying to get under the smoke. I said, I can't stand the smoke. You come out of there, you stink of cigarette smoke. I mean, they had air conditioning, but it just couldn't get rid of it, you know? And then this idea of the bands were slow. That's what the Lord got me out. He said, you just need to get out of here. You're in the wrong place. And finally, they say, well, you want to go over there? It was called the 615. I go, no, I don't think so. It's just too loud, too smoky. And so the Lord chased me out because of the noise. And it's probably a good thing, because that was me carousing. And not that I did a lot of stuff, but you're in that environment. And a couple of places that I had gone, people got knifed to death right outside. You know, so we're in there, and you hear in the paper next day, this guy got knifed down in front of this place. And I go, gee whiz, I was inside there. What was I doing there? What was I thinking? I never went back to that place ever again after that. You know, I mean, you're just there having a good time, and these people, some of these people are nuts. They get drunk, and they carry guns, and I don't know what they do now, but carousing. Hey, I did it. You know, as a young person, I wanted to get out and, hey, do it. That's why I suggested Arthur Murray, you know. It's just I'm not selling anything. It's a fun thing. You just go and enjoy the music and dance. There's no smoke or anything. So am I carousing? Maybe I'm carousing. Hey, Lord. Well, you can just go out for dinner then. That's all I can. Or I was going to say go to a movie, but I'm not so sure about that either anymore. Although, I think, has Arnold got a new movie? Geriatric Arnold is going to do another Terminator or something. At any rate, the movies seem to be getting worse and worse all the time, aren't they? At any rate, carousing there, we have these. I'll just look at, Romans 13:13 here. Romans chapter 13:13. Again, I think this is one of the lists. I'm not sure. They're all over, and you can check them out yourself and see. So when people say, well, I don't like to talk about sin, it's not my idea. It's all over the scripture. 13:13 here, and it says, Romans 13:13. Let us behave properly as in the day. Well, what is properly? Well, as honoring to the Lord. Would the Lord have you do this? Basically, could you take the Lord with you to do this particular thing that you're going to, not in carousing and drunkenness. Usually, carousing is connected here and elsewhere with drunkenness. Usually, when people carouse, they drink. And of course, that's perfectly acceptable today. And I think, look at the people that die through drunk driving, and it's perfectly legal. And so the drinking is, not the drunkenness. Not in sexual promiscuity, sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. So here we have a shorter list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. So we have this. And then one last one over in 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, 3 and 4. And here again, Paul has just had Peter has just given his sin list in the previous verse. He says, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries in verse 3, and then in 4, and in all this, in all these things, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. Oh, come on, let's have a good time. What's the matter, you party pooper, you know, and that kind of thing? Because you don't do these things and go to these places. And, you know, when I bailed out of that, it was years before I even went in a restaurant where they served alcohol. Just didn't. And so, you know, the Lord cured me. However he cured me, he certainly did. And there's more to the story, but I will spare you the rest of it. But a lot of that happened before and when I was in the military. And even then, people in the military, they did a lot of drinking. And I could never understand that. Soldier all day long and spit and polish, and then they'd go out and get smashed and get drunk in the NCO club or the officers club and all of those kind of things. It was objectionable to me. I just couldn't see it. Of course, you know, I was kind of a freak. I was down at the field house working out with the weights, as you might imagine. And so I had a whole separate group of people that we hung out with, and we'd go out for a malt or something at the base PA. Like that. Okay, so we have this then carousing. Finally, and we have the conjunction chi, things like these. So Paul opens the door for everything that he didn't mention. We have homoios, H-O-M-O-I-A, homoios, which is of the same kind or the same nature. And therefore, they are sins just like these are. They're different, but they're sins the same kind. I like this word is used over in 1 John 3:2, where it says, in the resurrection, we'll be just like he is. We'll have a resurrection body like Jesus Christ. I'm guessing he was around 30-ish, so we'll have a body like 30-ish, which means all this old stuff will go away and we'll get this young body, so I look forward to that. I can't prove it, but the word homoios indicates just the same way, same kind. Well, that's the kind of body he had, and that's the kind of body I believe that we will have. Same kind of thing. Here it's used with sins like these. And I mentioned the one text has some of the passages up to 94 different ones, and I have a categorical list that I was going to look at, but it's tedious, and it has about 28 mental sins, then about 15 or 20 verbal sins, and then of course you have murder, drunkenness, all of those things, about another list of 15 or 20. So depending on what list you look at, there are lots of things we can get wrong. But we don't have to worry about what we are doing wrong if we're doing what is right and honorable. Do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. So the second part of this verse, 21b, we're almost done. Galatians 5, 21b. The last part says, of which I forewarn you, present tense, Paul says, I'm warning you now, just as I already warned you in the past. And so he has apparently told them these things when he was there. This is one of those things that he is writing what he had spoken earlier. Sometimes we had, Judy and I had this discussion this last week about the fact that not everything the apostles ever said is written down. Not everything that Jesus ever said is written down. We have what God wants us to have. Now, for example, in the Catholic Church, they say, well, but the Apocrypha and sometimes the Pope and others, they get things from the late saints, the people in what they call the early church fathers. And they got things that are not in the Bible because they got them down through from the apostles and they weren't in part of Scripture. So that's where the Catholic Church moves away from the Scripture. The Scripture's good, but we have the church fathers and we interpret the Scripture in light of the church fathers. Now, I don't have time to develop the church fathers. Many of them were cuckoo clocks. I mean, really. I mean, we take the great one like Martin Luther, one of the patriots. I mean, the Lutheran Church, Martin Luther, one of the great. He put the 99 Theses on the Wittenberg door. What, he was not going to have indulgences, and he flew in the face of the Catholic Church. Yet, of course, eschatologically, he thinks that the Jews are finished. He hated the Jews. And he was in terms of prophecy, he believed that it was figurative. and not literal, and Israel had no future. And you go, whoa. So just because the church fathers came up with something doesn't mean that it was right. And it certainly doesn't mean that they can add to the scripture as they think the church fathers were like to do. And these things are what came through the Catholic Church. And so they had all of these things that they add in, which are not part of the Bible, but they say, but the church fathers said this, and the church fathers, and the Catholic Church is not sola scriptura. What does that mean? We are sola fide and sola scriptura. As sola fide means by faith alone in Christ alone, faith only. Sola scriptura, Genesis to Revelation, scripture only, not what the Catholic Church adds as the Apocrypha, none of the books that have been added for the New Testament, none of the ancient writings other than what you have as the text of the Bible. Sola scriptura. And you can ask a priest, do you believe in sola scriptura? They'll say no. Scripture is great, but the church fathers had things that they added, and we have the Apocrypha, which is outside of what we would consider scripture. And do they believe in sola fide, faith alone in Christ alone? They do not. There's a whole list of things, including, we noted, the rosary, many other things. If you are not going to Mass with regularity, you're in doubt of ever getting into God's kingdom. You just are. And if you don't have take the communion, if you don't do those things, there's a whole list of things that you have to do, not only to be in the Catholic Church, but to be saved and to be in good graces and to go to be with the Lord later on. So Paul says, I've given this to you before. And I didn't write it then, but now I'm writing it now. Did he give more? Perhaps. But all we need is what he has now written at this particular time. Well, that brings us to the last part of the verse, and so we'll come back next week. Those who practice these things have no inheritance. And the question is, whoops, I've done some of these things. Have you ever hated someone? Well, you committed murder. Well, then you're not going to inherit the kingdom. That can't be what it means. What does it mean here? People who practice them, not just do them. All of us have done these things. But is it a practice? The unbelievers do this as a matter of life. It's their modus operandi. It's their modus vivendi. It's their whole way of life, their operation. They do it, and they do it, but they practice it. Those who practice these things, the unbelievers, do not have a place in the kingdom. We'll look at that next time, verse 21c, and then next week sometime we'll get into the fruit of the Spirit, those nine factors of the fruit of the Spirit, and see how far we can get with those. Just a beautiful section. So good news coming in the book of Galatians by Paul. Father, thank you so much for getting us through this rather difficult section of sins, recognizing the fact that all of us understand there is such a thing as sin. Nevertheless, you have died for all of our sins, even the ones we haven't thought of, haven't spoken, haven't committed yet, that you paid the price on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for that, Father, and we recognize that we simply need to acknowledge them as they occur, and that you will help to keep us away from them. But if we stumble, if we fall, you are faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and all unrighteousness, because we have no condemnation by the fact that we are in you, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for him and all the work that he's provided in his intercessory ministry, along with the Holy Spirit who guides and directs us, and for your word that lives and abides forever. We thank you for all of these things. In Christ's name, amen. Remember, Bible class Tuesday, so maybe you can't make Thursdays. This would be a good week to jump in Psalm 16. Psalm 16.